Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 10 to 19. Proverbs chapter 4, 10 to 19. Proverbs 4, 10 to 19. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts now together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the blessing of having your word. We thank you for the blessing of giving it to us, and thank you for the ability to read it in our own language so that we can know your truth and live by it and walk in it. Thank you that we have a complete, sufficient Bible as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we pray as we come in this time for the preaching of your word, that these dear people here would hear and heed what you have to say to your people through your word. And so we ask for your blessing this time. Help me, please. Give me the energy, the stamina, the strength, the endurance to preach faithfully and clearly your word. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we come now in Proverbs chapter 4 to another hear my son or hear my children phrase. And so we saw in verse 1 where it begins saying, hear my children. Verse 20 says, my son. And verse 10 in this section, 10 to 19, that section begins with, hear my son. Hear my son. His father giving his son good and godly counsel in the way in which he ought to walk. And so the main point of this sermon is taking firm hold of instruction so that you will not enter the path of the wicked. Taking firm hold of instruction so that you will not enter the path of the wicked. My first point is take firm hold of instruction. Take firm hold of instruction. My second point, not entering the path of the wicked. Not entering the path of the wicked. So my first point again, take firm hold of instruction. Verse 10 reads, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. So this father speaking to his son, seeking for him to receive his counsel, his words, his instruction, his admonition. He is encouraging his son to receive his sayings. Hear my son and receive my sayings. And then he goes on to say, the reason why you should receive my sayings is the years of your life will be many. We ultimately know in a new covenant context that this ultimately is focusing on eternal life, the life that's yet to come. But obviously there are temporal blessings in obeying and receiving and walking in God's wisdom. But ultimately, the promise of godliness and wisdom is a promise for the life that is yet to come. Many years, many days in everlasting life. And so he's saying to his son to receive his sayings, that he might receive the blessing of the goodness of God in this life, but ultimately many years to come in the life that is yet to come. We see this also, this truth in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, where that text says that godliness or bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, in that as a promise for the life that now is and that which is yet to come. And so godliness is profitable for now, but ultimately it has promise for the life that is yet to come. Bodily exercise only has profit in this life, But godliness is profitable in all things, in that it gives goodness, the goodness of God to us in this life and ultimately in the life that is yet to come. And then he goes on, this father says to his son, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. So he's telling his son to hear his sayings, to receive his words, to hide what he's saying in his heart, because what he's teaching him, what he's communicating to him, is the way of wisdom. The way of knowing the truth and how to apply that truth in every given situation. He's saying, I have taught you in the way of wisdom, the way that is wise, the way that is best for you, the way that is good. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. And then he says, I have led you in right paths. So the way I've taught you, it's the way of wisdom. And it's the way of right paths. And so this is why he's telling his son to receive his sayings. Because when this son receives the sayings of this father, this father is telling him, when you receive what I have to say to you, you are receiving wisdom and right paths. Wisdom and right paths. And if we are thinking intelligently and rightly about this, everyone who's in Christ should want to walk in the way of wisdom and should want to walk and be led in right paths. And so that's what this father is telling his son. When I teach you, I'm teaching you the way of wisdom and I'm teaching you right paths. And then he says in verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. And he's saying that when you are receiving what I'm saying, which is the way of wisdom, right paths, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. This obviously can't mean that someone who receives the way of wisdom in this life will never, ever be hindered in any way, will never stumble in any way. But what it's saying is the pattern of life, if we are in the way of wisdom, if we are walking in right paths, that way is a way not hindered and one of not stumbling. The general pattern of life is one of walking in God's ways, walking in God's truth, and therefore the general pattern is they are practicing righteousness and not practicing sin. The general pattern of their life is they're not manifesting the works of the flesh, but they're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And so we see here that when we walk in the way of wisdom, our steps will not be hindered. And when we walk in right paths, we will not stumble. As the pattern of life, we will be practicing righteousness. We will be good trees producing good fruits. We will be those who are in Christ and therefore practicing the fruits of righteousness. And so we see this here that we are to receive the way of wisdom, to be led in right paths, because we don't want to be hindered, we don't want to stumble. And then verse 13 says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go, keep her, for she is your life. And so we see in this text that we are to, in light of receiving the sayings, in light of being led in right paths, in light of being taught in the way of wisdom, we are to take firm hold of instruction. We are to not let firm or instruction go. We are not to let her go. We are to keep her. We are to guard her. We are to be jealous over taking firm hold of instruction, because she is, namely instruction, she is our life. She is your life. And so the exhortation given is in light of the ways of wisdom, or the way of wisdom and the right paths. The way in which you find the way of wisdom and right paths is by godly instruction, by the way of instruction. And therefore the exhortation, the commandment, the desire is for us to take firm hold of instruction, to not let her go, to keep her, for she is your life. And so our desire should be that in light of wanting the way of wisdom, in light of wanting to be led in the right paths, in light of wanting the ways of God, we should take firm hold of instruction. We should hold fast to the truth, because in the truth is our life. Our life is built on what we believe, and therefore the way in which we receive and hold fast to instruction will be the way in which we go. And therefore, the exhortation again is given, take firm hold of instruction. When you hear the truth, don't let it go. Don't sell it. Don't discard it. But firmly hold on to it. Because she, namely instruction, is your life. And so we see the father to his son is saying over and over again, I've taught you the right way. I've led you in the right path. This is the way of blessing. It's the way not hindered. It's the way to not stumble. And therefore, take hold of instruction. Don't let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. And so we see that in verse 10 to 13, that reminder, that encouragement to take hold of life. Take hold of instruction, for she is your life. But then we see all these things are connected with what is about to be said in 14 and 19. And the second point of this, connected with 14 and 19, is not entering the path of the wicked. Not entering the path of the wicked. We see in verse 14, it says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. So what's being said here is that we are not to enter the path of the wicked. If we're taking firm hold of instruction, if we are really understanding that instruction, godly instruction, is our life, if we really understand that the way of wisdom and right paths is the way that we ought to go, we are going to not enter, not desire, not want to enter the path of the wicked, and not to walk in the way of evil. So the contrast is not get as close as you can to evil to see that you can resist. It's saying do not enter the path of the wicked or the path of sinners. Don't walk in their ways. And then it says in verse 15, avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. We see that we are not to enter their path. We are not to walk in their way. We are to avoid it, not to travel on it, to turn away from it, to pass on. This is very similar to a verse in Romans 13 and 14. It says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And so that verse is telling us that we are to walk properly as in the day because we've been made new in Jesus Christ. God has made us alive. God has made us new. And therefore, we are, instead of walking in darkness and evil, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And so the context here is that our desire is to not enter the ways or the thinking or the practice of the wicked so that we do not make provision for the flesh. It's not merely that we don't give in to fleshly desires, but according to 14 and 15, we shouldn't even entice ourselves to give into places where we might make provision for the flesh. Where we might make provision for the flesh. This is what is known as making occasion for sin. Those places, those activities, those people, those things that when we enter into them, they make occasions for our sinning. We need to avoid them, not enter their path, not walk in their ways. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. And this obviously has many practical implications for all of us. Our temptations or things that might be making provision for the flesh might be different for you than for me. But all of us have to say, okay, if this is making provision for the flesh, even if it is a good thing, it could be a good thing, but a thing that could be tempting. And if that thing is making provision for the flesh, it must be avoided. It must not be played with. It must not be messed with. It must be avoided. Things that are making provision for the flesh must be avoided. And so that's what's being said here. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. And so for some, that might be different things that they have to choose. Even though they're good things in and of themselves, if they cause them to make provision for the flesh, they must avoid them. Obviously, we know there's some things that we cannot avoid. There are certain things that we cannot avoid ultimately. Otherwise, we have to go out of the world completely to avoid sin completely. But there are things that we can avoid and be wise about so that we do not enter the path of the wicked. So that we do not walk in the way of evil. And so we need to be wise about where we need to say, okay, this is entering the path of the wicked. This is a provision for the flesh. This is giving tempting me towards sin. Therefore, I have to avoid it. I need to not travel on it. Where that's things just internally in your heart that you're dwelling on, that are causing provision for the flesh, that you need to not dwell on, or whether that's outward things that are causing provision for the flesh, or whether that's company that you're keeping that's causing provision for the flesh. And we know too that a challenge as it relates to this verse is being around those who make righteousness look strange and evil look normal. That's really the essence of what the wicked is. The wicked are those who make righteousness seem strange and holiness, or and righteousness seem strange and sin or evil seem normal. And so the exhortation is avoid it. Do not travel in it. Turn away from it and pass on. And again, that's different for different people. But you have to know your own heart enough to say, what are things that I have to be very wise about entering into? Because if I enter into them, I'm making provision for the flesh. If I enter into these things, I'm making provision for walking in the way of evil. We want to avoid that. We want to not travel on it. And so if provision for you, making provision for the flesh, is anxiety or fear or worry, that might mean that you cannot dwell on things that are going to cause you to have anxiety, fear, or worry. You can't dwell on those things. Otherwise, you might be making provision for the flesh. If it's pride, you might be very careful what you hear, what you listen to, what you think about as it relates to yourself or others in relation to pride. If it's lust, what you're looking at, what you're watching, what you're not going to watch because you might be making provision for the flesh. If it's anger, you have to be on guard about what company you're keeping and what you're allowing to enter into your mind and who you're listening to and what company you're keeping. All these things, at the end of the day, we have to know for ourselves, because all of us are different. All of us have no temptation that's overtaking you. It's not common to man. All temptation is common to man, but there are different temptations that hit you that might not hit me, or hit me that might not hit you. And so we have to be wise and prudent to say, whatever is making me walk in the way of evil, I need to avoid it, not travel on it, turn away from it, and pass on. And like I said, these are not necessarily sinful things, but there are things that cause provision for the flesh. If you turn to Hebrews 12, we see this as well there. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so what we see here in Hebrews chapter 12 is there's two things in which we need to lay aside so that we can run effectively. Weights and sins. Weights and sins. Weights are things that hinder us in the running, meaning they are things that are legal. I think it's been used before, but I'll say it again. You're legally in a marathon, if I understand it right, you're allowed to have 20-pound dumbbells when you run. You're allowed to do that. They're not going to tell you you can't. But it's not going to help you run to the best of your ability running with 20-pound dumbbells in your arm. And that's what we mean by weights. In the Christian life, weights are anything that might be genuinely lawful, but do not cause you to run as well as you could by giving yourself to them. And so those are things that, again, are not necessarily sinful. Things that you might be able to do that I might not. Things that I might be able to do that you can't. Because for you, they're weights. For me, they're not. But we have to know ourselves to say, what are weights that are hindering us, that are causing us harm that we need to lay aside? That we need to set aside. And then obviously we need to set aside sin, which so easily ensnares us. And we are in light of that to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And so we see that we are to lay aside weights, lay aside sins, We are to press on towards the goal because we are seeking to not enter the way of evil and not making provision for the flesh. Not making provision for the flesh. If you turn now back to Proverbs 4. Just wanted to give us an example in the New Testament of that reality of not setting aside weights and sins. Things that could be lawful that we need to set aside because we do not want to walk in the way of evil. And then it gives the reason why we need to be on guard against the path and ways of the wicked. It says in verse 16, "For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall." Very interesting language that the wicked, for the child of God, sometimes it's hard for us to sleep when we've given in to evil, when we sin against God, when we have a conscience that is pricking us because we've done evil. The wicked are the opposite, as is described here. They cannot sleep unless they've done evil. Unless they've satisfied their craving for evil desires, they cannot sleep. Unless they have given themselves over to lewdness and lust or revelry and drunkenness or strife or envy, unless they've given themselves over to satisfy their carnal, fleshly desires, they cannot sleep. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. They are not able. They are not able to even sleep unless they do evil. They're so consumed. They're so saturated with evil. It's like this. If you are about to go to bed and you're about to get in your bed and you just have an unbelievable thirst. You have a thirst that unless you quench it, you're not going to be able to sleep. And you cannot go to sleep. Your sleep is taken away because all you can think about in bed is, I really need a drink of water. I am so thirsty right now and I cannot sleep. And so therefore, unless you quench that thirst of water, you will not be able to sleep. And that's what it's like for the wicked. That unless they have given themselves over to their sinful passions and desires, they cannot sleep. As Job tells us, so they drink iniquity like it's water. Job 15, verse 16. And so we see that this reality is they cannot sleep. Therefore, we're not to walk in their paths because we don't want to be those who cannot sleep unless we've done evil. We want to be those, unless we repent, that cannot sleep if we've sinned. Unless we repent and find reconciliation with God through Christ. But we see that their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. They're so committed to evil that their sleep is taken from them. They can't sleep unless they have done evil. And the writer, this godly man by the Holy Spirit, is saying, don't walk in their paths. Because you don't want to be giving over yourself to sin where you literally cannot sleep unless you do evil. Because at first, what can happen is we can give in little and little and then more and more and more. And it can go all the way to grievous iniquity. So we are to avoid the path of the wicked, avoiding their ways, because they are ones who cannot sleep unless they've done evil. And then it describes that the bread they eat and the wine they drink is wickedness and violence. It's very interesting as well as we think about taking bread and wine at the Lord's Supper. We see the description here that the wicked, their bread that they eat is wickedness. Their drink of wine is violence. That they're so, because we think about bread and wine or bread and the drinks that we take in, that they're so common to us, that they're so natural for us to be partaking of. And what this text tells us is that it's so common for the wicked to be doing wickedness and violence, that's their bread and wine. That is their common portion of wickedness, doing what is evil, doing what is wrong, doing what is violence, doing what is displeasing unto God, because they're eating the bread of wickedness and they're drinking the wine of violence. And so we see that here, that is what is consuming their life. They cannot sleep unless they've done evil. Their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And so those type of people, those type of places, those type of things are to be forsaken. They're to be killed. They're not to be messed with. They're not to be played with. They're not to be entertained. They're to be forsaken, avoided, and not traveled upon. Do not enter the path of the wicked. But then we see this encouraging truth about the just, or God's people. Verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. That the path of the just, the path of God's people, is like the shining sun, and it shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. What this means is for God's people that we are ever progressing in sanctification. That we are like the shining sun as God's children, and we are progressing and growing and shining ever brighter unto the perfect day, which is the day of glorification. That we are ever progressing from glory to glory as we are the just or the righteous who are pursuing God's ways. That's a great encouragement that God's people might slowly but surely be doing it, but slowly but surely we are shining ever brighter unto the perfect day. Slowly but surely, we are ever increasing in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are ever increasing from glory to glory. We are ever progressing in holiness and righteousness so that we will shine ever brighter unto the perfect day. And the wonderful thing, like Rob was preaching on last week, that we can grow in our sanctification, we can progress, we can persevere, we can grow. That's what we see here. That the just are like the shining sun, and they shine ever brighter under the perfect day. The wonderful encouragement thing about this is that for you here today, if you are in Christ, if this verse is true, and it is, then 10 years from now, you will shine brighter than you do today. 5 years from now, you will shine brighter than you do today. 20 years from now, you shine brighter than you do today. You will ever be progressing, slowly but surely, but you will see the progression. We see this also. This happens in family relationships that you don't see for a while. And if the person lives with you, you don't see it as much. But then you go visit a family member and you have a young boy who's 12 years old. And they saw him when he was 6. And then they see him when he's 12. And they say, wow, you have really gotten tall. You don't notice it as much because you've been with them the whole time. They notice it because they haven't been with them that whole time and see, wow, you have really shot up in height. And that's what it's like for our sanctification. Because we're with ourselves all the time, we don't necessarily see it all the time. But as we interact with people and we're growing and these type of things, we have progressed and we progress ever brighter under the perfect day. More and more bright. More and more the light of the world. Because the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. But then it describes the wicked in this way. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Their way is one of darkness. The just, the righteous, God's people, their way is shining ever brighter under the perfect day. Their way is progressing and persevering and growing and maturing ever brighter under the perfect day. The way of the wicked, it's darkness. Complete darkness, because they are darkness, they're in darkness, they love darkness, they practice darkness, and therefore their way is the way of darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. When you're in a place of darkness, you don't know what you stumble over. You don't know what you trip over because you can't see. And so they don't have the eyes of the mind of Christ and therefore cannot see the way in which they're in, the way of darkness. And we saw this last week as we were talking about God being light. God is light, and him is no darkness at all. Darkness is a picture of sin. So the way of the wicked is like darkness. Their way is darkness, where the way of the just is the way of light, because we are the light now in the Lord, and we are ever increasing in that light. We are the light of the world, a city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. And so this is contrasting the way of the just, the way of God's people, with the way of the wicked. Saints and sinners. God's people and those who are lost. So that's what we see in this section, those realities of who we are and how we are to live because we are the just. But let me now bring this to some application as we think about a text like this. First, if you are without Christ, you are the darkness. And therefore, that's why you need the one who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. The light of the world who came that we might have life and salvation and hope in him. And therefore, Christ came that we might be the light of the world. Christ came that you might awake from your sleep and shine, that you might find the way of darkness being despicable and the way of light being beautiful. And so if you're without Christ, you are the darkness, and therefore you need the one who is the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then for God's people, it should be our desire to take firm hold of instruction, for she is your life. We should take firm hold of instruction. We should hold fast to instruction. We should hold fast to the truth. We should hold fast to God's ways. We should hold fast to God's truth. And in light of that, we should avoid, forsake, despise, turn away from the path and ways of the wicked. We should turn away from it. We should flee it, because their ways is darkness, but the way of the just is light. We should avoid their way. We should run from their way. We should not travel on it. And when we stumble and fall, we get back up through repentance and faith. We are reminded of who we are in Christ and the forgiveness that we have in Christ. But our desire should be more and more and more to avoid the way of the wicked, the way of evil, because their way is darkness. And that's not our light. That's not our way anymore. Our way used to be darkness without Christ, but now our way is new. We're living in newness of life. We are the light in the Lord. How can we live in darkness if we're the light? The darkness is not who we are anymore. By definition, because we're in Christ, the light of the world, we are the light of the world. And therefore, darkness and the Christian are at odds like water is with oil. But they don't mix. The way the wicked is darkness, the way of God's people is light. It's a shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day. And so you have to think for you. I have to think for myself. What are ways in which we are entering the way of evil and we are making provision for the flesh? That's where you have to ask yourself the question. For you, what is making provision for the flesh? For me, what is making provision for the flesh? And what those things are, we need to avoid them. We need to forsake them. We need to turn away from them so that we do not walk in the path of the wicked. So that we walk in God's truth, and therefore we do not walk in the way of evil. And so we need to be reminded of those truths. But what an encouragement should be for all of us, that the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day. An encouragement it is, as you look back at your life, maybe you look back 10 years ago and you see where you're at now and it's different because you've been shining ever brighter under the perfect day. It's that encouragement that we go from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory. As we are beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed from glory to glory, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And so what an encouragement it is for us. But oh, that we would, by God's grace, not enter the path of the wicked. Oh, that I would. Oh, that you would. Oh, that we all would make more and more effort to not walk in their ways, to not walk in their path, to not be influenced by them, to not desire what they desire, to not love what they love, but instead love what is true, lovely, beautiful, and good. That God might cause all of us by his grace to enter not, to not enter the path of the wicked, so that we might be more and more shining, shining as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we do pray that you would apply these things to our heart. Help us all to walk in your ways and not in the way of the wicked. In Jesus' name, amen.